or someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, we're cracking the success code from Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. We'll read Joshua 1:8 and continue from where we stopped last week. Okay, let's read Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So we'll be sharing this morning on your mouth and your success. Your mouth and your success. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So last week we took on the book and the law. The God of the Bible is a God of the book and the God of books. So we said if you will succeed God's way, you must value information. And then it's the book of the law. And we said that the God of the Bible is a God of principles. Absolutely important foundation for our transformation. Just in case you weren't here, it's good you get the CD. Powerfully life transforming. So the next step in the information is your mouth. So we see that your mouth is also in the equation for your making your way prosperous and your having good success. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Your mouth is involved in the process of turning your inner realities into physical realities. In other words, where we started from last week was on your inner transformation, your inner change of status, and your leveraging principles and the power God invested in them to achieve your goals. To move your dreams from dream state to reality, your mouth is a very critical factor. Communication, expressing that dream is very critical. Writing is on the same platform. Because Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. So when you speak words and when you write, you are giving spiritual realities their first opportunity to connect with the material world. And that's very important. The contact point with the material world, because from there on, everything else can move on into the physical realm. You remember we read last week Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we said Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 was something that God said to one of the most successful people in the Bible, his name Joshua. And we paid close attention to the fact that Joshua had a cultural background. A cultural background that was grounded in slavery and in poverty and in mediocrity. So when God was speaking to him, and by extension to Israel and to us, God was bearing in mind the need for us to be divorced from our culture. Do not be conformed to this world or to the culture. You have to run against the culture. but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, if your thinking is not conformed to what already exists, your words also should not be conformed to what already exists. You must be willing to go against the culture when it comes to speaking. You have to be willing to go against the culture when it comes to the use of words. If we may ask, what was the culture that Joshua's generation had been used to in Egypt? The generation that grew up from slavery. What do slaves discuss? From what level or platform do they speak? They speak poverty. They speak from a victim mentality. They speak with an inferiority complex. They speak low self-esteem. They speak poor quality living. And if you remember very well the story of these people, all through the time that they were going through, from the moment they came out of Egypt and came to the Red Sea, they were complaining. Negative. 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 If God is going to change the direction of your life, apart from changing your thinking, he must change your speaking. He must change your words. But we'll look through that in scripture. Numbers chapter 13 from verse 26. And we have a graphic example here of how these people carried over negative speech patterns. Numbers chapter 13, it's a passage of scripture that I'm sure most of us know, and we'll pick it from verse 26. Moses chose a leader from each of the 12 tribes of Israel and sent them to just have a look, spy, or map out the territory that they were going to take over. Numbers 13 from verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. 27 says, then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, that's it. Anytime you hear someone speaking positive words, once the person puts but, there's a problem. That's a big problem. They were confirming that what Moses had said, what God had said about the land was true. But, some of us need to get that but out of our system. It is true some people are making it, but. It is true that it is possible, but. And there are many people who sabotage their destinies with but inside the church service. When the prophetic word comes, say, yeah, pastor, that's true. But in my own case, so they said, verse 28, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. 29 says, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Describing the problem. Describing the problem. They are in the north. They are in the south. They are to the left. They are to the right. Okay, verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. 31 says, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. That's a contradiction. In one verse, in one sentence, read it again. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great. You just said that the land swallows the inhabitants. Then you said you saw people in it. Not just ordinary people. Men of great stature. That the land didn't devour since they were young. Haba. 33. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. See, this didn't begin in one day. This was a product of a culture rooted in slavery, a culture rooted in a system where they were, in fact, third class or fourth class or fifth class or seventh class citizens, a culture in which they were poor. They did not have the right to own anything because the king of Egypt owned them. They were government property. A culture in which they lived in slums. A culture in which they did not believe that they were capable of doing anything. And they lacked skills. They carried that over to their land of promise. To their place of breakthrough. They came right next to the best chances, the best opportunities God ever created for them. The land flowing with milk and honey. Where God had promised that they would eat bread without scarcity. Own houses they didn't build. Own vineyards or farms they did not plant. Own wells they didn't dig. That land, they came close to it. But their words didn't match the new level. They said, they will kill all of us. We're finished. We can't do it. You know the dangerous part to it. Chapter 14, verse 1 says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. Awesome. You came right next to the fulfillment of God's blessings and God's promises, and you were crying. By the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down. And there we wept when we remember Zion. Amazing. It was not prison, you remember. It was Zion. The dwelling place of God. And you were crying. You have problems. But see the dangerous dimension to it. When you go down to verse 26 of chapter 14. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Verse 28, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. End of story. Even God can't help you beyond the level of your confession. See, you are the prophet of your own life. Some people, you know, when things go wrong in their lives, they say, you see, I said it. It's when it's my turn to do something that something goes wrong. I said it. Yes, you said it. Pay attention to what you are saying. You said it. You prophesied it. And God said, amen. If you are going to change your status, you must change your words. Okay? Words are powerful. You can use your mouth to move your life in a particular direction. You can use your mouth to change your levels. If you read the Bible very well, I'm telling you, the Bible is one book that says a lot about the power of words. Everywhere you look in scriptures, you see the power of words right from the first chapter. You can't walk with God and not value words and understand how to use them to fulfill the assignment God gave you on this planet. In James chapter 3, I'll read this from the Message Bible. James chapter 3, Message Bible, verses 3 to 10. A beat in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to sort of set off a forest fire. Now, this is critical. As massive as the ship is, they said it's a small rudder that you use to determine its direction. And it's describing here the power of words. Verse 6, a careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. Verse 7 says, this is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a one-tongue killer. With our tongues, we bless God our Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Curses and blessings coming out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. Success and failure shouldn't be coming out of the same mouth. Okay? Words are powerful. You can use words to change the direction of your life. That's what he's saying. You put the bridle in the mouth of a horse, and with that you can control it. So he says, so the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. When you come into God's economy, you understand how God values words and the impact that words have on our world. With the help of the Holy Spirit, it's one of the basic things the Holy Spirit will help you to do to change your life. First, he gives you visions, give you dreams. Okay? The Holy Spirit works on your imagination. He did that to me instantly. Once I became a Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, I'll be praying. The Holy Spirit was putting things in my imagination I could never have put there myself. That's why I knew it was from God. Two, he will change your words. The Holy Spirit will teach you a new language. That's why on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God filled the disciples of Christ, the first thing the Holy Spirit did was to take control of their vocal cords. If God can't change your words, he can't change your life. That's why he took control of their vocal cords and was producing sounds. Amen. And was producing sounds. Give your mouth to the Holy Spirit. Amen. But this is remarkable. It says here that we can literally destroy the world. Only God knows how many homes have been destroyed with words. How many businesses have been destroyed with words? These principles apply to individuals. They apply to families. They apply to organizations. And they apply to a whole nation. In the early days of our church, several years ago, we were finding it difficult to catch up with our bills. So I was praying one morning, and the Holy Spirit said to me, how will you get money? When the common refrain in the office is, you know the church doesn't have money. You know the church, because all the different departments or units will push in their requests for funds, and we met them with a template. You know the church doesn't have money. You know the church doesn't. So the Holy Spirit said to me, as long as you say it, the church will not have money. I said, ah. So I came to the office and announced to all the staff, this thing has become common here. From today, it is banned. Nobody will say here again that the church does not have money. We have money. I said, if you put in your request and we don't give you the money, it is because we need to manage the resources well. The church has money. There is creative power in words. Words can bring into existence what never existed before. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, designed and constructed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made from things that are visible. See, one of the basic characteristics of cultures that don't develop is the fact that they do not value intangible resources. Pay attention to it. They don't value ideas. They don't value knowledge. They don't value thoughts. They don't value time. Cultures that do not value intangible resources can't make progress, because it is intangible resources that become tangible resources. The invisible world controls the visible. So through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Just do a simple comparison. between what the average person says in a country that is developing or that is developed and the one that is not developed. You will find the difference. Just like we see with Israel. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Your word is framed by your words. Your world is framed by your word. The same way God framed this world by his words, you shape your world with your words. Genesis chapter 1, and God said. And I like the first one. I like the first one. Because Genesis 1 verse 2 says that the earth was without form and void, and that darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said what? Let there be light. God didn't describe the problem, he spoke the solution. So if you will see the life of anyone making progress, that's what you will notice. It's not your business to speak the problem, it's your business to speak the solution. So, there's creative power in words. Now, my encouragement today is that we learn to speak powerful words. And Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 give us a pattern. Very simple pattern. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So two principles I see here. Number one, say what God said. You want to speak words and get results like God does. Say what God said. There is creative power in God's word. Read the whole of Psalm 29. You see it there. When God speaks, things happen. Amen. Good. So he says here that God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So one secret that I learned is the fact that God's word in your mouth is as powerful as God's word in God's mouth. See, it's when you speak your own words that nothing happens. It's when you speak your own words that Satan does not pay attention. When God speaks, there is power in his word. Everything on this planet obeys his words. Say what God said. And the second thing there is, say it the way God said it. One, say what God said. Two, say it the way God said it. It says here, for he has said. Verse 6 says, so that we may what? Boldly say. Boldly. God does not speak in a weak way. One of the major products of the fall of man into sin is the corruption of human language. One of the major proofs, the corruption of human language. Satan introduced weakness into the way we speak. So how does God speak? Boldly. When God said, let there be light, how do you think he said it? Let there be light, please. So you read the words, you have a sense of how he said. It was a command. It did not occur to God that it would not happen. He didn't cross his mind. It was an order that we may boldly say what God said and say it the way God said it. You can carry a powerful weapon with a weak hand. Yes, a powerful weapon can be very ineffective in your own hand. Say what God said. Say it the way God would say it, that we may boldly say. I love the man they call the centurion in Matthew chapter 8. You read the story in verses 5 to 10. The man who approached Jesus and said, my servant is lying at home sick. Please help me to heal him. Jesus said, fine, let's go to your house. He said, no. No, I'm not worthy to have you in my house. He said, but sir, Matthew 8:8, he said, speak the word only and my servant will be healed. He said, for I'm a man under authority. I said to this one, go. He goes. I tell this one, come. He comes. You know what Jesus said? The Bible says Jesus turned around and said, I have never seen faith like this in Israel. That's what Jesus called faith. Now, when we read spiritual Christians, when we read
In Matthew 8:8, speak the word only. The only thing we think about is the Bible. We think the man was saying, speak the Bible. That's not what he said. He was a military officer, centurion, has the same root as century, which is 100. He was a battalion, he was the commander of a battalion of 100 soldiers. This was military language. I'm a man under authority. I tell this one, go. He goes. He dare not. Not go. He goes. I tell this one, come. He comes. He was asking Jesus, do it. Do it. Come on. Do it. He said, do it. So when I was reading my King James Bible, I didn't quite understand because it says, speak the word only. So when I now check through different translations, one says, give the command. My servant will be healed. Another one says, give the order. I'm telling you something. You are going to speak words and see your life change. No, I'm not praying for you. I'm encouraging you. Learn to give the order. That we may boldly say, the days of weak speaking must be over. That we may boldly say, did you see how Caleb spoke in Numbers 13? When everybody was saying all those negative things, we're dead. They will kill us. We cannot. They said, Caleb said, everybody, shut up. We are well able to take this land. Didn't he take it? 40 years later, everybody else was dead. What they said that God said amen happened. They died. And then Caleb showed up and said, Joshua, you remember that day? And that God promised that he was going to give us this land? I'm here. He said, as I was then, that's how I am now. Give me this mountain. This is my inheritance. I said it and I'm going to take it. Say what God said to you. The word of God is the sword of the spirit. That's what you have to fight. In Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 12, all the weapons of warfare described there are defensive weapons except the word. That's your weapon of attack. Say what God said. Say it the way God said it. The day the lamb was sacrificed and the blood was shed in Egypt, and they put the blood on the doorpost, that day their identity changed. Their status changed. That day terminated slavery, sir. That lamb died for each family. The slave died. The day that lamb died, they had no business speaking weak words anymore. That's why that night, when they approached the Egyptians and said, give me the money, the Egyptians went in and came and gave them the money. Because the poor person died when the lamb died. Poverty died when the lamb died. They had no business continuing with their negative word. And 1 Corinthians 5:7 says that Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Stop that negative speaking. I hear people talk a lot about ancestral curses, ancestral curses. And I said, excuse me, what ancestry are you referring to? Say, ancestral curses, ancestral. You are referring to your natural ancestry. The day you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you got a new ancestry. You got a new daddy. Hallelujah. He doesn't have curses to pass down to his children. I have entered the realm of ancestral blessing. Change your language. Your status has changed. Or else your mouth will take you down to where you were before. Dr. Mike Murdoch says, you can't walk to the palace talking like a peasant. The language they speak in the palace is different from the one they speak in the ghetto. Disconnect your tongue from poverty. Disconnect your tongue from inferiority. Disconnect your tongue from mediocrity. It's time to speak abundance. Speak superiority. Speak excellence. In Luke 4 verse 22, the first time Jesus entered the temple after he was baptized and received the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 4:22 says, so all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? That's it. So when people begin to notice a change in your words, they will soon see a change in your life. Let me read it to you again. You didn't get it. So all bore witness to him
and marveled at the gracious words that proceeded from his mouth. So when your life begins to change, one of the first places where people will notice will be in your words, in your confession. And this is my observation. When they begin to wonder at your words, they will soon wonder at your results. When they begin to wonder at your words, they will soon wonder at your results. Mark 16:20 says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, confirming his word." With what? Signs following. Thank you, Jesus. So welcome to the days of signs. Welcome to the days of wonders. When they wonder at your word, I just thank God. I thank God that I was not shy of people to frustrate my destiny. In the days when there was nothing and I was jobless, still looking for a job after youth service. And I began to brag, I'm not a local champion. I'm a world champion. I'm going to the world. In the backside of the desert. It sounded ridiculous. Even to me, it's only that I had learned to value principles. You can't break them. They're the ones that can break you. You frustrate them to your own detriment. So I began to say it because I was seeing it. I thank God. A few years later, one of those people who would mock me said, "Oh, it looks like those things that Pastor Sam said, those things are coming to pass." I said, "Tell him, the one I said yesterday is the one he's seeing coming to pass now. I'm already saying new things. Because my tomorrow must be better than my today." In the name of Jesus Christ, you belong to a family. It is the family of God. And there's a way God, your Father, speaks. Receive grace. Receive grace. Receive grace. Every form of corruption of speech is terminated in the name of Jesus Christ. Words are seeds and they bear fruit. And some of us made mistakes already. God said, "As you have spoken in my ear, so I will do to you." Some of us made mistakes already. But because of the blood of Christ and the mercy of God, I declare, every negative word spoken is canceled. In the name of Jesus. So I give you 1 minute to say some things in the presence of God. If you remember anything God said to you, either from his word or by prophecy or by revelation, I want you to declare it now. I can never call myself poor again. Never ever. Never ever call myself poor again. I can never be poor again the rest of my life. Never ever. And it is not about the amount of money in my account. It's the principle. As you have spoken in my ear, so I will do to you. Say something in God's ears. I will never have a better last year again the rest of my life. The path of the just is like a shining light. It shines more and more unto the perfect day. I rise, I'm never coming down. Some people are afraid of witches. That's nonsense. Who can curse him whom God has blessed? Behold, he has blessed and I cannot reverse it. I declare that my blessing is irreversible. My blessing is irreversible. My progress is irreversible. My success is irreversible. Whichever way it goes in this country, I prosper. Even in tough winds, the ship can still go through when you hold the rudder well. I hold the rudder of my confession well. However rough it is in this nation or around the world, I prosper. I'm a descendant of Abraham. God said he will bless Abraham and make his name great. I declare there's greatness inside my name. So that we may boldly say it boldly. Don't be shy. Say it boldly. The day Jesus cursed the fig tree, the people around heard. When they hear you, when you are prophesying, they will see the manifestation of your blessing. I am irreversibly blessed. I am prosperous. And I can never, ever be poor again the rest of my life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. I declare under God, those words that you said are created in the realm of the spirit now. And I prophesy by the Spirit of God. Angels go to work on your behalf. As you said it, so you see it. The spiritual world moves for your sake. The material world moves for your sake. As you are speaking in God's presence, things are changing for you outside. In the name of Jesus. Lord God of heaven, I spoke your words, not mine. And I ask Heavenly Father, honor these words. Amen. With signs following. Amen. As each one releases forth those positive words, let the Spirit move on their behalf. Amen. Closed doors of opportunity are open now. Amen. Rejection is terminated now. Amen. Where someone had no yesterday, the answer has turned to yes. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray for the person present in this service who says, how do I hear from God? How do I speak God's words when my relationship with God is not okay? Lord, we thank you because you sent your son Jesus to die for our sins on the cross, because sin is our greatest problem. We thank you, mighty God. So, Lord, I pray with my brother or sister present here who is honest enough to admit my relationship with God is not okay and who is asking for forgiveness. Thank you because there's forgiveness in this house now, because you love us. If I may ask, if you are honest, just before I conclude this prayer, you're that honest person who says, Pastor Sam, pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. My relationship with God is not okay. I'm a sinner. I want God to forgive me. Can you please put your hand on your heart? I want to say short but life-changing prayer with you. Short but life-changing prayer. Someone says, I've been a Christian before, but I've backslidden into sin. Right now, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. Can you please also put your hand on your heart and I'll pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. If you're watching on the internet, you may also put your hand on your heart and we'll pray together right now. If you're here or in the overflow and your hand is on your heart, or you know, the Spirit of God is telling you, you should be a part of this prayer. Can you please stand by your chair? We'll be done in 1 minute or less. Can you please stand? You didn't come to this service by accident. As you stand, things are moving on your behalf already. Heaven is moving on your behalf. Can you stand? If you're standing, please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing me. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for our brothers and sisters who are standing. We know their sins are forgiven because they asked and because Jesus paid. Above all, we know you've removed the nature of sin from them and you put your nature inside them. Teach them to know you and to love you and to serve you the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435 or email us at contactus@dashrmg.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregun, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.